You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Play in Alberta, everything stays in Alberta. Revenues from Play Alberta stay in the province. You can help get the Henday built. Mike, I don't know if you were able to see Kyle live right now or not. Probably not. I know as you're getting prepared to do the broadcast, but you know, you've been in the confines of hockey dressing rooms, and like, you're close-knit, and for that organization, when you have a player who goes and tells management something that egregious and they basically just don't listen to him. And I know he had played six games at that point. He had just turned 20 years of age, right? Like, I know that young players, you're a black ace. Like, to even have the courage to tell someone is tough enough, because most young players, you never want to rock the boat. You don't want to say anything. And then for them to not listen and do nothing for Aldrich at that moment, my goodness, what a horrible decision.
Yeah, no, and listening to you and the intro for me coming in, it's news to me as far as I knew that there was something coming up on SportsCenter there, and I just got off air. I didn't know it was Kyle Beach or anything about it, so that's news to me. But just from the circumstance of what happened, I don't know. I think that we're sitting here, and as a former player, you just try to put yourself in a situation of being on that team, maybe in the locker room. And I just, it's hard because the locker room is supposed to be, and you're always told this is a safe place. Nothing leaves this room. Everything that happens in our lives basically stays within these walls. But to what end? You know what I mean? Like, when there's things bigger than hockey that are happening here, things have to be, and I don't know. I might be dead wrong here. It's hard for me to believe that not everybody knew that something happened. Every single player on that team. I just from my experiences in the NHL locker room, you have to know that. So I it's hard for me to, I think it's part of a lot of the stuff we've talked about and over the last number of years, there's been this question mark on hockey culture. Is this something that falls under that, where, yes, the locker room is important for hockey-related things, not to let it out, or maybe if there's a little bit of a dust-up over certain things in the room, but real-life problems and situations for players, that's got to be talked about. That can't be something that is protected, quote-unquote, inside a room. I don't know. That's the most troubling thing for me in this. And, again, I didn't hear what Kyle has said. There's a victim there in Kyle, and there's a victim in Michigan because it wasn't handled appropriately. Yeah. And that's disgusting. It's infuriating. And I don't know what we can learn from this.
Yeah, Rep, I'm with you. And when I look at the situation, like, you know, at the time I went back and looked at the age of some of the players on the Blackhawks team. You know, I think Duncan Keith was 25 or 26. Seabrook just a little bit younger. Then he got Toews and Kane, they were, essentially babies at 21, 22, whatever they were. But there some people are trying to place onus on them, but their job is to support each other. And then, Beach just said it, he was told it went to the very highest levels of the organization. But the people above the players, their job is to protect the players and to watch out for their best interests. So the fact that nothing was done in that moment, like I've said, if someone had gotten cancer during that time or been diagnosed, they would have dealt with it right away. If someone's house was burning down or flooding, they would have dealt with it right away. So, like, to not deal with it, it just blows my mind, because I was always under the assumption, and I'm sure you were too, like, the manager would say, we're here to look after you. We're here to make sure everything's okay. And then you hear that and, like, is that really true? And then what else was going on we didn't know about? So that's where I get frustrated, because that's the manager's job and the coach's job, to protect their players, you know? And in this case, completely not was a reality of that situation.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. It's, I think, just the frustrating part for me, though, in regards to, and again, this is me trying to put things together. We've heard, we've heard John Torchetti was vocal about it. Nick Boynton kind of came out and said everybody knew about this, and we heard those guys kind of say those things. And there's still players that saying they didn't know, and coaches that have said that in as recent as this past summer. And I think that, I don't sit there and expect the players to take care of it from a from an HR standpoint or a legality standpoint or whatever the circumstances, you're expecting the superiors in that situation to do that. And there's a chain of command, and that goes coach, GM, and president of operations or whatever the situation is, HR, and all those things. You expect them to take care of it. But there's also been silence on it. And that part I don't understand. And I think that, you know, even if it's kind of when these things start coming out, like, yeah, I knew something happened, but I assumed it was taken care of. That's at least something. But everything's been quiet. So I don't know. I'm sure we're going to learn more about it. Maybe they didn't know. I find that tough to wrap my mind around right now. But this is a brave thing for Kyle to come out and do what you're saying there and take this interview and say these things. And he's a victim here, as well as there's other victims involved. So I think that we don't want to see this happen to anybody else.
No, 100%. It was interesting in the report how the report said they did speak to Boynton and Sopel, and they couldn't give any more details on what, you know, their comment everybody knew. So, you know, who really, you know, at the end of the players at the time, I don't know, you know, when you look at the timing of it from the time it happened late in the Western Conference final, I think that the bigger concern to me was more the allegations of them mocking the player at the training camp in the future. That to me is a bigger is the one part that really kind of irked me, you know, if that turns out to be truthful or not, and that's definitely brutal. And so we'll see kind of where it goes from here, Mike. It's obviously a story that, you know, it's about the NHL, but I've always said this, I think it's a bitter reflection of society. We, you know, sexual abuse is something and rape that a lot of people try to hide in a lot of different areas, and we have to bring it to the forefront as much as we can and you know, support the people who are the victims and then ultimately the survivors of it. I do want to get some hockey talk with you, of course, your former team. Hey, talking about playing with fire a little bit, the Subban Slewfoot, it's Reeves and now it's Lucic. Like, my goodness, you're really playing with fire if you're Slewfoot and two of the toughest guys in the league. And I, like, it's a pretty dirty play. I'm kind of like, I'm surprised it's just a fine.
I just got off working with Ken Danico and I said, hey, Dano, is your boy DK got a death wish or what? Like, what's going on here? And, you know, I actually don't think the Ryan Reeves one was, it wasn't great, but I don't think there was any intent there. I just think that it was a reckless play. It was hard for me. I don't know, maybe that influenced the Milan Lucic one, but that one looked even worse to me. So, yeah, I don't know. And I've heard some mockings on social media saying PK Slewban with the Slewfoot there, so a nice play on words. But it's a dangerous play, man. I would assume that that's going to be something corrected, and hopefully you won't see it anymore.
Yeah, it's I hate the Slewfoot. That hitting from behind, I couldn't stand. I'd rather be slashed or speared. Like those ones, I just, because you can't control it, right? You have no control over the moment, right? At least the slash, you see it coming, and spear, same thing. So they always really rattle me. When you look at the Montreal Canadiens, are you surprised with the foundational players they've lost that there are where they're at today with one win?
I wouldn't say surprised. I mean, I wasn't expecting it. I was expecting them to be obviously better than what they have been up to this point, because they showed in the playoffs and that magical run last year that when they play and they stick to their game plan, they're really tough to play against. And even without a Carey Price, without a Shea Weber, I still think they had enough guys in there, enough of a talented, structured group to be able to carry that out. And we saw in the playoffs time and time again, that team would be outshot immensely, and they'd still find ways for success and get timely goals. And now they're not defending well either, and it's just nothing seems to really be working. I mean, I don't want to throw it on a young kid, but I thought Cole Caulfield was going to be the shoe-in for Rookie of the Year, and maybe it's because the whole team can't score. He doesn't really have they lost Philip Deneau. He just doesn't have someone to play with. I don't know what the circumstance is, but they just look like a team out of sorts. So I'm a little surprised how bad it's been, but I guess I'm not shocked, because I don't know how good this team was. I didn't really think they were that great. I thought they caught a really good run where they were playing a certain style, and it took them to the Stanley Cup Finals.
Mike Rupp joins us on Edmonton Sports Center, TSN 1260. Mike, you got the Panthers, you got the Hurricanes, you got the Blues, and you got the Oilers. First time ever in NHL history, four teams are 5-0. They're all in separate divisions. Which one do you like to have the best chance to win their division in the regular season?
Winning their division, let's see. I'm going to say Florida Panthers are going to win that division. I actually don't think it's going to be close. I think they'll come down to earth and they'll lose a game or two here or there. But they're a team that I think is going to run away with that Atlantic division. I've been really impressed with the St. Louis Blues. They've been a fun team to watch. And I don't know where I was in the offseason as far as you see all the news coming down. You're looking at certain things. I was aware of certain moves they made. But the season starts and I'm looking on paper. I'm like, holy crap, like this team's loaded up front and they've got a lot of weapons. And, you know, does this hot start and this team looking to be a Stanley Cup contender, does that change the vibe with Vlad Tarasenko? Does he want to be a part of this? He looked pretty dang good the other day with his dipsy doodle and his two goals. So, you know, I just think the Florida Panthers are the team that's got the best chance of winning their division.
Closer to Edmonton here, we got the Calgary Flames. You know, if the Oilers weren't off to the start they are undefeated, Calgary would be probably the talking point of the Pacific. What do you see with this group that maybe changed from last year to this year?
You know what? I've loved Andrew Mangiapane. I mean, he's been a really nice story. Him and Elias Lindholm both with 7 goals. I mean, to see this point they'd be tied with Ovi for the league lead, I don't think anybody saw that. I thought he was a great player who was awesome at the World Championships. Gerard Gallant was singing his high praise. He's leading this team right now, and he's doing it, and he's provided them something. And I don't know. I don't know really what to make of this team because, to be frank, and I've been like this for a while, I don't love their makeup. I didn't love their makeup over the last number of years. I just didn't think that they had a great makeup. But maybe it took a training camp of Daryl Sutter of kind of getting these guys. The one thing I really like that they have going right now is he's put a little bit of specialty, greasy-type players in every line. So he's kind of dispersed these guys throughout their lineup. And so they've got a little bit of work ethic and skill on every line, and it's been a nice blend. I mean, who would have thought this team would be that hot when Sean Monahan's struggling? He's on your fourth line, and Johnny Gaudreau, who's playing actually exceptionally well, but he doesn't have a goal yet. But he's got 8 assists, I think. I didn't see it coming, but it's good. I mean, I think the Edmonton Oilers are going to also win that division. But how good is it if you're going to have? I'd love to see the Oilers and Flames both be in powerhouses at the same time. Might be early for that, but I think it's kind of heading in that direction.
Any concerns early about the Colorado Avalanche?
I do have some concern. Their secondary scoring, they lost, a couple players there. And I think Brandon Saad did some nice things for them. And they had guys in there and they had a good thing going last year, but they had to kind of pick and choose their spots here. They had to get Gabe Landeskog signed there. They have to make sure their books are in order for the big payday coming up here for Nathan MacKinnon. So I don't love their lack of secondary scoring. I think that's why they find themselves coming out of the gates a little slow here. I think they're okay in that. I like Darcy Kemper. I think that he's going to be just fine for them, but they haven't found their footing yet. I think they will find it, but maybe this is what they need, right? Like over the last few years, I know they've dealt with injuries. They've had MacKinnon out at times, Rantanen out at times, and they've done well. But I don't know. I feel like they almost just – it was a cakewalk in the regular season for them the last couple seasons. Maybe this is a page out of Tampa's book where you maybe got to struggle a little bit during the regular season. They're still going to be in the playoffs. They're a really good team. We'll see how they handle this adversity. Maybe it can help them down the road.
The Oilers take on the Philadelphia Flyers tonight, and, you know, pretty good start for them in a tough division. What do you like from their game that might give the Oilers a tough time tonight?
Claude Giroux has been really nice, and he's come out, and he's got a 5-game point streak to start the season, so he's cooking. Konechny looks like his old self outside of beyond last year. He struggled, but a lot of guys struggled last year for that team. I think that they're a wild card for me, and I don't mean for the playoffs. I mean just a team they could. I think theoretically they could put a string together and compete for that top spot in the Metro. That's a team I want to keep watching and keep seeing how they're doing and how they're managing like this, a road trip, right? How are you going to, what are you going to come back to Philly with? How are you going to manage these things. A big storyline is obviously Carter Hart and what he does, and if he can get back to his old form. But I think that this team has the ability to surprise a lot, and I think this team has some potential here that they can get hot and they can win that division.
Rupper, always good to catch up with you, man. Enjoy the broadcast tonight. We will talk to you next Wednesday.
Awesome, fellas. Enjoy.